Well, judging by looking at me, you can probably tell I'm a pretty good freestyle rapper. Now, so when I was a rookie district manager, we had a big conference for 24 Hour Fitness in Hollywood, California. Back then, they had a lot of connections. Magic Johnson was actually a sponsor, so he actually bought like 8 or 9 of our clubs, and they called them Magic Johnson clubs. So we had this huge nightclub, and they, I guess being the rookie, they were like, "Hey, dude, you're doing the rap." And I was like, "What?" So being the rookie, they put me on a stage, and I was supposed to freestyle rap while Magic was the MC. I did not know that the other divisions actually had guys in their area that were actually really good rappers. So these guys from Kansas City came on, and they had like matching songs, and they were like, "Get down." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's really good." And I came out and tried to do freestyle rap to whatever I had coming in my brain, and it was not good. So Magic Johnson actually said, "Hey man, we gotta stop this music. We gotta get this dude off here." Put his arm around me and walk me off the stage. So hopefully that doesn't happen today. I'll go ahead and dive in. So I just finished reading a book called Atomic Habits. And in that book, he says our habits are a product of our identity, and in turn, what we do with our time and energy is shaped by who we are or who we are trying to become. That's why my testimony is really about a search for identity. I grew up, I grew up in a loving home with an amazing mother. My dad was not in the home starting at about age 1, so I was raised a mama's boy, which works out fine through elementary school. But as men know, when you hit junior high, you start to develop cliques. That becomes a thing, and you start getting labeled or placed in your groups. Well, I was late to the party when it came to athletics, so I never got in with the jocks. I had no interest in being a nerd, which is funny because when you grow up, we all end up working for the nerds. So I opted for the bad kid route, and I basically started acting out and acting like a complete terror in search for my identity in order to get the attention that I needed. I got into drugs pretty bad. I was getting in trouble with cops and ended up in a military school. That led to my developing some muscles, and when I came back my senior year, and I actually was able to graduate to the cool kid in the ranks. The good news was I was cool. The bad news was I was still a really bad kid that just got better at not getting caught and drawing attention to myself. That started a life of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. At 18, I immediately went to work in the fitness industry, and where I started the 17-year journey with 24 Hour Fitness. It turns out I was pretty good at sales, and ended up ascending up the ranks really fast and became one of the youngest general managers, then district managers, and VPs the company had. Now, I had a new identity. I was a winner. The men around me were winning, and what I observed were guys who worked all the time, had tons of stuff, and they set the bar for what I was going to become. I also managed to do most of the winning while living a secret dark life behind the scenes of crazy drug use, sex with tons of women. If you work in the gym, it's like pretty available. I literally prided myself on my ability to party like a rock star and work like a maniac. I set my sights on the golf course house, the sweet cars, and the hot wife. And by my early 30s, I had them all. I had made it. By now, I had given up drugs, but my new drug had become work. I ultimately ended up getting married, and while we had a great marriage early on, we were not prepared for the reality of marriage, especially when kids came into the picture. 13 years ago, my daughter Daisy was born, and I can remember holding her in the hospital so tight that my arm cramped up, and they actually had to literally come over there and like pry her out of my arms. Because I couldn't let it go of her. It was a pretty cool feeling. I remember when she was born, it was the very first time fear actually came into my life. I had no idea what to do about being a dad, being that I didn't have one around. And I immediately got freaked out and scared about what the hell I was going to do. So I did the only thing I knew how to do. I worked harder. After I had originally taken a week off, I was back at work in 3 days. Fast forward about 4 years into this story, and my marriage is in shambles. My wife and I were on completely different pages. I would work all day thinking I was providing, come home and she would want attention. I would immediately went back to work in my office. We were basically roommates, and I felt like a failure for the first time because I was struggling in my marriage. It was bleeding into my job. You know, growing up in a single family household, all I ever really wanted was a family. And but this is not what I had in mind. It's not what I expected at all. By now, I was at a loss of my identity. I had no idea who I was. I was not being a great husband. I was not being a great dad. And I wasn't the golden boy at work anymore. Then one day, my wife went out of town, and I ended up cheating on my wife. That began one of the more challenging three-year periods of my life. She was done. I told her what happened, and she completely checked out, but she tried to stay in the marriage for a while. That lasted for about a year. At that time, I started trying to lead our family to God, but I did it in all the wrong ways. Like everything I knew how to do before, I treated religion as a weapon and a tool to fix our marriage without really knowing how to surrender to God. The more I pushed God on her, the more she drew away and became angry at me. Fast forward a year into this, I started a new career as a financial advisor. In my first week on the job, she decided to leave me. And that was kind of the beginning of the end for the old Jason, as my world was about to start crumbling down. About this time, I started meeting with a man one-on-one, and we were going through Operation Timothy, which is life-on-life discipleship. This was the first time a man was pouring into me without some type of initiative. Prior to this, men who shaped me always had one thing in mind: how do I help Jason so Jason can sell more and grow our business? But here was a guy that was just showed up and listened to me, didn't judge me, and pointed me back to God for answers. That summer, the man was meeting with me, inviting me to a family camp at Mo Ranch with my daughter and I. I told him I would think about it, see if I would come up with the money. And then I went back home and thought, there is no way I can afford a vacation. The next week, he told me some men were going to sponsor my trip, and Daisy and I would get to go. I was completely blown away. Mo Ranch was the first time I got to experience the kingdom and what my new family would look like. We got there and everybody was loving on us. The people were helping me and Daisy. I got some quiet time while she ran and played with the other kids. And I also got to see godly men being transparent and leading their families. And it dawned on me that while I'd lost my dreams of having a worldly family, I had found a new heavenly family for Daisy and I here on earth. It says in James 4:5 that God jealously longs for the spirit he caused to dwell in us. Well, God knew I was clearly holding on to my pride and my old identity, so he wasn't going to let that happen. And so he's going to make sure we killed that off. I've been fighting for about 2 years in my job, trying to make it as an entrepreneur. But with the divorce and now having 50% custody of my daughter, I couldn't turn the corner. So I ended up throwing in the towel and I decided to go back to work at 24 Hour Fitness. But they had a number of issues rehiring me, so I was stuck without work and left to sit on my own with Christ for 42 days while they worked on trying to rehire me. This 42 days was the best thing that could have happened to me. I was completely broke. We had just enough money to cover rent and food. It was even bad enough that my dad, who we had reconciled by now, caught wind of my struggles, he even sent me some cash, which was extremely painful for a prideful man to have to get help from a man who didn't help him his whole life. That was real painful. But during this season, it was just me and Daisy and Jesus. I would spend my days working out, praying, walking around the track at my apartments, praying and worshiping. It got so crazy that one time Daisy came in the bedroom while I was talking to Jesus, and she said, "Oops, Dad, looks like you're talking to Jesus. I'll come back." I was bottomed out and at a complete loss. But my daughter was getting to see her daddy turn away from the expectations placed on him by the world and starting to identify himself in Christ. Like in Romans when Paul says, "Don't be conformed by the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." On day 37, I was driving home from the gym and a song came on. It's called "Squeezy Broken." And the words There's a part in the song where it says, at the cross you beckon me, you draw me gently to my knees. And I don't know what happened, but I was at the light and I just got floored. It was like something rushed over me, and I immediately felt like I had to surrender all to Christ at that moment, and that's what happened. So for the first time, I didn't feel like I was alone in this fight. I was at the light. I felt this rush come into my heart, and I just started weeping. And I proceeded to do that for about 4 hours that day, and it was like I was in a trance. But when I came out of it, I felt a new level of peace I'd never felt. And I believe I received the Spirit of God. Like in the Bible, in John 1:12, it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And that's what I felt at that time. Now I have a new identity, and I was a co-heir with Christ. Like in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. So fast forward to today, 7 years later, I've been completely restored. I have a great relationship with my ex, who even notices a new me. I met a godly woman who's come into our home, and while we have struggles, the same struggles that come with marriage, we're both rooted in the Word, so we're able to tackle things I never knew you could do with God's help. So much, in fact, that this past week I was venting, and she went and grabbed my Bergman, and which is something that we went through with some of these guys in the movement, and we worked on what I was battling, and then we sat there and prayed about it. And I distinctly remember telling the guys in a focus group the next day, I was like, how lucky my wife sees my struggles and she comes to me with prayer. It's just an amazing thing. I really hit the jackpot. So ironically, I never thought I would go back to financial planning, but God took my failure and turned it into his glory, placed me with a man from this movement and his company. And I can tell you that that's another full testimony, but I can tell you all my business comes from God. It's very evident. He's blessing my ministry, as I have some men that I get to walk and do life with now. And that's not to say that it hasn't all been peachy. We both battled illnesses and chronic illness in my house. We've gone through pandemics, we've had furloughs, losses in my business due to the economy, and I even lost my dad in the last 2 years. So in 2020, I lost him. But probably the most beautiful thing about the story is that God was able to even restore that relationship. So probably about... probably about a year to come to Christ, I started to get a relationship with my dad again. So we struggled to find a way to connect and bond. But the one thing we were able to do in the last probably 2 years of his life was we were able to connect over God's Word. While he didn't know how to love me the way I wanted to be loved, I was actually able to love him for who he was and the way that God made him. Sorry. In Genesis 4:14, when Cain killed his brother, he says to God, I will be hidden from your presence and be a restless wonder on the earth. And I can't think of a better way to describe my life prior to knowing God than that verse, being a restless wonder on the earth. But today I stand here knowing that my identity is an heir of God and co-heir with Christ.
I think we're ready to go play golf. Tobias, am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
Ready to go play. So you should have gotten a scorecard when you came in and gave your front nine scorecard. You should have gotten another one to go out. So as long as someone on your team has that, you're ready to go. Thanks.